Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. The psalm opens up with a verse that's very familiar with most of you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now, I'm going to jump down and start reading here at the 22nd verse. This is Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, and I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It is believed that the psalmist David wrote this scripture when finally all the things that were promised to him was put into place. When he was no longer living in a cave and running for his life, but when the kingdom was set up. So in one way, you could think this stone was a little bit about him getting into his rightful place. But the principal reference here, church, is clearly a reference to Christ. Okay? He was the one who came down to man. The chief, the creator. But they recognized him not. Was rejected of men. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. But the verse that really makes you think is verse 23. He says, this is the Lord's doing. God works in mysterious ways. I'm thinking if I'm coming down from the kingdom of heaven, I'm not coming down as a baby. I'm coming down as a king. I'm going to triumph. I'm going to bring armies. I'm going to take over the world. That's how I would think. But the love of God is so beyond my comprehension that he said, I love the world so much, I'm going to come down, leave the splendor of heaven, take on the form of a child, become completely dependent upon the creation that I have made. Knowing that once I grow and make my mission known, I'll be rejected and despised of men. Now this was put into place before the foundation of the world was set in order. God had a plan. Christ said, I'm coming to do the will of the Father. Not my will, but the will of the Father. He said, I've come to give honor unto him. And he completes his mission knowing he's getting rejected. I think it's hard enough to go somewhere knowing you're going to be accepted, let alone knowing you're going to be rejected. And you remember when we studied the book of Daniel. At the end, when all the kingdoms of the world are destroyed, it was by a rock that was not hewn by the hand of man. The new kingdom is Christ. He is that chief cornerstone, the building point. But here he came basically in humiliation. He came into his own. His own received him not. Knowing who he was, they rejected him. Now we think of the stone in the case of Daniel being powerful, forceful, mighty. But also when we study the cornerstones in the cities of God, these are beautiful jewels, valuable vessels. See, here we have a precious stone, but rejected by the rulers and the people of that day, by the Jews as a nation as a whole. They refused to have him come in to be the Messiah as promised. And when they were given a choice by Pilate saying, here is your king, they said, we have no king but Caesar. Then I got to thinking, if Christ came back and appeared on the courthouse steps today, and an angel announced, here is your king, would we do any better? Would our nation be prepared to receive him. But this time he's not coming when he comes back as a baby. He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming back with all a power and authority. And he'll come back to judge the nations who rejected him. But this first trip was one in humility, where he laid down the splendor of heaven, took on the form of man, knowing he would be spit upon, knowing he'd be mocked and ridiculed and rejected. Yet he came because he loves you. We're why he came. Didn't come for his own personal gain. He came for our gain. He came because he loved us. He is the chief and head cornerstone. I'm glad we have the Christmas story where we know that God so loved the world that he sent his son. He came down in this manger and we recognize it. But I'm glad the story doesn't stop there. I'm glad that he lived the perfect life and could pay the price for us. And he went to the cross and shed his blood. But I'm glad the story doesn't stop there. I'm glad that there is a resurrection day. I'm glad that because he lives, we can live also. I'm glad that I have hope in him and not in the world. You know, as we study down through this, we're going to realize God's revealing things to us. Why do we come on Sunday? Why is the Christian Sabbath on the first day of the week? This was the resurrection. This is why we gather on Sunday. This is why we come, because we have hope in life, because he rose from the dead. That's why the Christian Sabbath is on this day of the week and not on Saturday like the Jewish Sabbath, because we have hope in Christ. We realize that he has been exalted and lifted up now. He is the chief and head cornerstone. He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. As humbled as he was, he's now exalted. And the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit is unique too, because he doesn't talk about himself. He lifts up Christ. He said, when I send the comfort, that's who he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about Christ and the plan of salvation. It was for you. And that's what the Holy Spirit's mission is. Let everyone know the price is paid for your salvation. You can meet the Messiah. You can have a Messiah. He can be your God. And that's what the psalmist recognized later. He said, this is my God. My God. Not Abraham's God or Isaac's God or Jacob's God or grandma's God. My God. We have a personal relationship. And quite honestly, that's what Christianity is all about. It's a personal relationship between you and God. Knowing him. He knows your name. I think we forget that. He knows. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll take care of everything else. He knows we have needs. He created us. He made us. Come on. Let's think about who this is we're dealing with. He has all these things here. He's lifted up now. We recognize him as wonderful. He's the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. I can imagine the angels when they were out there telling the shepherds. Brother Jake was singing that song, and the shepherds just mind their own business. They're watching some sheep. And all of a sudden they got a message from God. I bring you good tidings of great joy. On to a couple of people. No. On to all people. Every nation. You know, I often thought, well, if, you know, the Jews had accepted him, they might have kept him. They weren't exactly the most friendliest group of people at that time to share things. They had the Messiah, they'd have kept him. But because they rejected him, the whole world got to receive him. Think about this. He said this happened because it was God's plan. Nothing caught him off guard. He didn't come here and say, oh, that's amazing. I'm surprised they didn't recognize me. He said, I came into my own, but my own received me not. But as many as receives him, they become the sons and daughters of God. And thank God, that's why we're here. Because he made a way. And then we get down through there, into verse 24. It says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What day are we talking about? Well, every day he made. But the day of salvation, the day of the resurrection, the Lord's day. This is when we celebrate who he is, a living Savior. The biggest difference between all the religions in the world, our God lives. The other ones have tombs and temples. You can go find their bones. But we have a living Savior who lives now and forevermore. This is the greatest thing. This is the day. The doctrine of the Christian Sabbath, so to speak, is the day that the Lord hath made, and the redeemed should rejoice in it. the Lord's Day. Every day we should be glad, not because of our circumstances, but because our name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what Paul said? He said that no king can separate me from the love of God. No decree from the governor can separate me from the love of God. No decree from the president, no military order can separate me from the love of God. Angels or devils or demons or whatever, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Pandemics can't separate me from the love of God. Illness can't separate me from the love of God. Poverty can't separate me from the love of God. Imprisonment can't separate me from the love of God. Shipwreck can't separate me from the love of God. He said, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah! They're starting to exalt him in verse 25 and 26. It would be sort of what we would see in the movies. They say, long live the king! Long live the king! Long live the king! That's how they're exalting him here in this song. They're saying, God reigns forever! Our God will reign forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Woo! I'm glad I'm a part of that kingdom. I'm glad I have the hope in Christ. Woo! You know, as a church this week, I want you to focus on what you have in Christ. I don't want you to focus on what the governor's decree is. I don't want you to focus on what the CDC has to say, or the World Health Organization, or anybody else. I want you to start focusing on whatsoever things are good, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are kind, because we start thinking about the love that God has, that he left the splendor of heaven, he came down to us. That's why we have joy of Christmas, because we have hope in him. It's not our circumstances. The circumstances don't matter, because we have hope in Christ. They came, he came, they rejected him, but we received him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the psalmist goes, he's my God. It's personal. It's personal. It's your, I hope it's personal with you. Man, when you sit down and talk to God, it's relationship. That's what it's all about. A relationship. That's why he came. You know, his real purpose of creating us was that he could love on us and we could love him back. That's really what the whole purpose of why we're here, to have a relationship with God. Problem is, we let sin enter in and separate us from God. But thankful, the God we serve is full of mercy and grace. And he said, I'll make another way. Even though sin has separated you, I'll pay the price for sin. Perfect blood of the perfect Lamb of Heaven came down, and he paid our price. He punched your ticket. He said, all you got to do is come and receive. Whosoever will can come and receive. The enemy hates that, but we should wake up in the morning, and we should become a grateful people. We should be thanking God for bringing us through the night and giving us a new day. You know, the Bible says in the last days, people will be unthankful and unholy. You know, I think it wouldn't kill us to pause a minute before our meals to pray, to thank God. Seems to be a lost art in America. Don't believe me? Go to a restaurant, sit down, just watch how many people take time to pray. Now, there are a few that will pray, and then we got those that do the headache prayer. You know what I'm talking about? Now, you don't have to pray like I pray, because sometimes my wife says, not the preacher voice. Calm down. I said, well, I got to pray for everybody because they didn't pray for their meals. So I'm going to have to pray for the whole restaurant. I'm not there to embarrass anybody, nor am I ashamed of my gospel, of my Savior. And I'm going to take time to give him glory and thank him for the food that he provides, all the things that he gives to us. I mean, the air that we have to breathe, we didn't create, we didn't make. We're here because we're beneficiaries of a good, kind, merciful, loving God. And the world has us wanting to focus on all these junk things, get us depressed and discouraged and wore out. Well, Christ didn't come to give you depression and discouragement and wear you out. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I've come to give you love and joy and peace. And he said, that's what the whole Christmas season is, the peace of God, the hope and the purpose. I feel bad for the world because when you take God out of the equation, there is nothing here worth living for. God is our hope. We need God. Otherwise, we'd be most miserable of all men. That's why the world who's rejected him suffers from discouragement and depression, because they don't see any purpose, any reason, any hope. But those who have met him, you have reason, you have purpose, you have hope. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless, 2020 is still the year of the Lord. I didn't give it up. I found God is still faithful through good times and bad. I found God hasn't changed. Matter of fact, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that God has some promises. If you join me on the Facebook at 6 o'clock, we're going to talk about 11 more promises that God has made about the coming of Christ and how he's fulfilled that. And guess what, man? There are more and more promises. There are promises not yet fulfilled. But God's batting 1,000, and I don't expect him to strike out at this point. He's going to deliver everything he's promised. We have hope. We have hope that he'll come again, because that's what the word says. This time to receive his own. Be ready. Be rejoicing. This could be the day. This could be the day. Are we living that way? And we get down through this psalm, and I won't tarry on here. I got so much information in this psalm, I just can't share it all. But remember when Jesus entered into Jerusalem on that triumph Psalm Sunday? What did they say? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What were they quoting? The psalmist. They said, this is a man of God coming down through, man. We got to give him glory. And the Pharisees said, oh, you got to hush these people up. He said, man, if I did, the rocks would start to cry out. Because this is a glorious day, a marvelous day. The rocks know better than most people. Come on. Let's praise God. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. This is the God we serve. Okay, so we're going to zoom fast here a little bit. It says he has shown us light. The world is dark, dark and dying. And he has shined on us light. He has shown us favor. He has given us an occasion for joy and rejoicing because of what he's done. It talks about taking the sacrifice up to the altar and tying it off on the horns of the altar, getting prepared before the Lord to give. Well, we don't bring animals into the sanctuary to slay anymore. We bring ourselves in and we become a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves in worship and praise unto God. That is what you bring to him. Okay, we bring that form of worship. And we're to offer to God ourselves, our lives. We're to be grateful for his redeeming love. It wasn't us who was slain upon that cross. He died for us so that we can live. We must live for him. And our hearts need to be focused on him. And when we realize, thou art my God. Come on. My God. Whoo. Personalize it. Sometimes we read it, oh, it's the God of Abraham. Well, I'm glad Abraham had a relationship with God. Oh, it's the God of Isaac. Well, I'm glad Isaac had a relationship with God. But that's history. I'm living right now in the present. I want a relationship with God. He's my God, the God I serve, the God who loves me, and the God I love back. I just want to give thanks and praise to God. God is so good to us. Man, better than we deserve. And the psalm ends the same way it began. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Why is he good? Because his mercy endureth forever. We're here by the mercy and grace of God. God loves us. We know that as we celebrate this Christmas season. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He knew when he came as a baby his purpose, his mission. When he was 12 years old at the temple, he said, don't you know I got to be about my father's business? I came for a reason. I came to live and die so you may live forevermore. And he said, it's not my plan, not doing the things I want to do per se. He said, I'm here to do the will of the Father. And boy, oh boy, if we would just adjust ourselves and do the same thing, not our will, but his will be done in all aspects of our life. And just simply trust him and walk in this. Those angels announced to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, for there is peace on earth. They didn't talk about the peace that we look at like the UN and there's no wars going on. This is peace between a sinful nation, a sinful individual, and a holy God. That God has made a way that we can restore relationships and we come back together. And that's where we'll have peace on earth. Scripture says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars till he calls it to the end. So don't get too excited about that. Where you find your peace isn't at the UN. You'll find your peace right here in your heart when you make everything right with God. So as we come into this Christmas season, let's think about whatsoever things are good and pure and true. And think about the hope that we have because God so loved the world. And as we see this little baby realizing this is God come down, laying it all down for us, then he walked among men and paid a price that you and I couldn't pay. All of our hope is wrapped up in this season. And this is why we celebrate this. This is why we sing songs. This is why we give gifts. This is why we reach out and tell people we love them because God so loved us that we can love others. This should be a joyous season. I know we have a pandemic going on, but ever since sin came in, there's been illness, sickness, death, disease. But I've heard testimonies of healings that took place, miraculous healings that took place this week. This week. This week. God's still on the throne. And God's going to call us home one day. I know we've had several people who've lost family members. But when they're saved and they're ready to go, they've run their race. They've completed their journey. Man. Amen. That's what I'm in here for. I'm here to finish the course. It isn't everybody who starts, it's those who finish. Right. You know, I'm hoping the Lord comes back within the next 5 minutes. But but should he tarry his coming for 10,000 years, I want to be faithful till he calls me home. And I want to dwell in the benefits of being a child of God. My name's Dean, and I'm a child of God. Hey. Sinner saved by grace. Here by the mercy of God, and I'm rejoicing because this is a day that the Lord hath made. And my name is no longer in among the lost, but is written in the Lamb's book of life. And I'll have life now, and I have life forevermore. Hallelujah. Because God loved me, and God loves you. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, boy, your word is so good. It just stirs my heart, Lord, when I think of how good you are and how merciful you are and that you loved us enough that you would come even though you knew you would be rejected. Lord, thank you for loving us that much. Thank you, Lord, for loving us with no strings attached. That agape love that you share, Lord, let it flow through us. Lord, I just want to pray a blessing upon each one who came out to the house today and, Lord, those that are watching online. That, Lord, that we would just be able to hear your voice in this season. Lord, that we will find the strength, oh Lord, that you provide and the hope and the joy and the peace. Lord, you said you brought light into the darkness. Lord, let us be reflections of the light. Let us shine in this dark and dying world. Let us bring hope to our nation, to our people, oh precious God, that they might find their peace in you. Lord, I'm praying for our family members and our friends to get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with the joy that only you can give. Lord, touch us this Christmas season and remind us all that you've done. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.